Well, that was an argument much heard in the 17th century. I dare say not an argument much heard in our own times. Though, do we hear of an echo of it in the idea that a responsible, dedicated, and submitted citizenry is a happy one? There was already, in the time of the Renaissance, we spoke of Renaissance civic humanism. Certainly there was occasion in the writing of some great 17th century political thinkers to turn to what comes to be called the liberal tradition. The liberal tradition says that man is endowed with rights, and that he needed to use those rights to their fullest in free and open societies in order to be fully human. Now, this line of thinking reaches right back over the Renaissance. It reaches right back to Cicero. It reaches right back to Aristotle. We've encountered it again and again. The interesting problem with this theory is that however lofty it is in articulation, however attractive it is in theory, it has been immensely difficult to implement in practice. In how many societies have free people been able freely to govern themselves? An ideal long called for, but not one widely accepted or used. Western civilization, seems to me, and finally, has been one long test of human ingenuity in the face of the natural world. Mesopotamians and Egyptians, for example, learned to harness the power of rivers to tame the challenges of the desert, to feed themselves, quite simply. For millennia, the Mediterranean provided food, it linked peoples, and it transmitted ideas. Our sea, Mare Nostrum, as the Romans called it, was the center of the earth, as far as people were concerned. Naval technologies, commercial technologies, we might say, were elaborated and developed to profit from the inland sea. Continental Europeans and their island neighbors spread in every direction, as we've had occasion to see. First of all, of course, spreading out on the European continent itself. Remember our expanding Europe of the High Middle Ages? And then spread, well, yes, in the first place, to places like Iceland, and then eventually to almost all the globe. They applied ever new technologies from such humble things, remember, in the early Middle Ages as iron plows and three-field systems and better water wheels, to the more elaborate technologies of modern times. But we have here again a long continuity. We will not speak in this course, but we would be able to speak if we were looking into the future, of the so-called agricultural revolution of the 18th century. That is to say, another moment in the history of the West when agricultural technology grew and expanded as almost never before. Indeed, an important background to the slightly later Industrial Revolution. So conquering the natural world, solving its problems, learning how to cope with it, has been a continuous story. Those technologies that Europeans developed for their sailing, better maps, yes, but also better ships, yes, but also better navigational instruments, yes, better rigging for ships, yes, all of these things, plus a bit of ingenuity and a bit of incentive, made Europeans cross the oceans. Now, in doing so, to be sure, they wreaked a certain amount of havoc. They mistreated large numbers of people. They deprived people of many of their own possessions and resources and opportunities. But in the process as well, they initiated the making of our world a smaller, but also a more interesting and interdependent place. To walk down a street and to see a string of foreign restaurants is something we take very much for granted. And it's a very small manifestation of the consequences of European expansion. And it is not something that would have been met in the Europe of the 16th century. One great scholar once said that history is a process of challenge and response. One very interesting way of thinking back through the history of Western civilization, is to list the challenges and list the responses. It is to notice, I think, an engaging, sometimes a surprising similarity in the challenges. And then to notice a most satisfying and curious dissimilarity in responses. There, I think, is where we see creativity and ingenuity. This is why it seems to me we can think of Western civilization not something fixed, done, and final, but as a great experiment, and as a great experiment that goes on. What challenges remain? I think they will be many of the same ones that have existed in the past. How may we live in peace with one another? How may we live on this planet without destroying it? How may we understand ourselves? But what responses will those challenges evoke? These are new, and they are unforeseen.